With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Mindfield podcast from Anfield Index Pro, your sports psychology podcast where we break down all things LFC and the mind and trying to win a championship and all that kind of stuff. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Andrew Vincent. I'm not going fretting fancy today, Andrew. You're just Dr. Vincent. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Today we can talk about all things disappointment. Although there's a second leg to the Atalanta game, which has not yet happened at the time of recording. So maybe we will talk about all things disappointment just in time for a thrilling turnaround and a miracle, and everyone's morale will be very high and we can be all disappointed.
Yeah. So listeners, we are recording this on the day of the second leg of the match against Atalanta. So you guys will be listening to this and will know the result. So you'll either be totally depressed or you'll be sitting there going, these two lads are talking a load of shite, and that's okay too. But, you know, it's been a tough week, Andrew, in terms of being a Liverpool fan, a Liverpool player, anyone involved in the club. And, you know, it just so happens to coincide with, you know, a difficult week in our history as well. So there's so much kind of going on around it. But today, what I was hoping to kind of explore with you is fatigue, physical fatigue, and how that impacts on the mental fatigue, but also looking at how, you know, from your experience of working with players at a very high level, what type of conversations you're having, what elements you're trying to encourage them to use to get that balance right so that they can see out the end of a very tough season and at the same time be as good as they can be. So I suppose the first place to kind of look at is, like, you've worked with players who are going for major trophies and getting close to the end of the season and things might be tight. What are some of the conversations they're bringing to you when you're having those sessions with them, and how are they managing and what advice are they looking for?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those spots where ice hockey is a nice example to use because it's a grueling sport and it's a long season. So it's a physically, it's a really demanding sport. The extent to which you're expected to be able to manage injuries through a hockey season is significant. And like, you know, just play through injuries, especially if you get to the playoffs. I mean, like for anyone who has ever tuned into the NHL playoffs, like, you know, you have guys who are taking a stick to the face. They're going to go in, they'll get stitches between periods and they'll be out for the third. Or, you know, you like someone's not playing well for a couple weeks, their team gets out and you find out that the guy's got three broken ribs. And like, those are the kinds of things that like they'll play through, you know, and they'll play through in like the most physically demanding of circumstances. And, you know, even watching, you know, if you watch on the women's side, it's just as tough, you know, like what they're playing through, what they're pushing through. So it's, you know, the other thing with hockey is just the number of games. And so, you know, you'll have, especially not so much in the NHL, but the league below, the AHL, they'll have 3-3 weekends where they're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or, you know, they'll play Friday and Saturday night, then they'll play matinee on Sunday. So it's less than 24 hours. They'll turn around and play a third game. So it's super intense, super hard on the body. By the time you get to the later stages of the season, and college ice hockey is, they just play on the weekends, but they'll play Friday, Saturdays. Okay. Still tough. But still, by the time you get to the end of the season, everyone hurts. Everyone's tired. Like it's a lot. And so those are the kinds of places where I've had those conversations a lot more is, you know, like, how do you deal with that physical fatigue? And the pain too, which I'm sure a lot of players on the Liverpool team right now are playing through some of their own pain and trying to navigate their own pain. And, you know, usually, and it's funny cause we were just talking about this, like when people are coming to me, I think what they're hoping I'm going to have is like, what's the mental trick I can use to be 100% fresh? You know, like what's the thing that I can do to like not notice that this hurts or not notice that I'm tired or play as if I'm not tired? And it's like, I don't have that. You know, that's not a thing. Do you have that, Al? Is that something that you're...
I do, but it's patented and it can't be revealed just yet. You've got to pay a lot of money to get that. No, okay. Unfortunately not. There isn't that magic bullet that we can take. And I do think if we bring what you've just described into a Liverpool context, you know, anyone who listens to the Fatigue Index or the Under Pressure podcast will have a good idea that playing in a Klopp team is very different to probably playing in a lot of other teams on the body. And like, I could imagine if we were working with some of those players in the squad who have been Ali Mack, Virgil, those players who've been consistently in the team and playing over and over, like that is going to take a physical toll on your body, and you that then can have an impact on your thinking, and you step away from the automaticity that we've discussed in the past where mm-hmm. you just do things automatically, so you know where such and such is going to be or where they should be and you play the pass. But because people are either they've played so much that they're tired or they haven't played enough because they're just coming back from injury, that split second at that level has such a major impact. And there is very little that you can do to change that, because we can't give advice to anybody and that mm-hmm. will just make it all disappear. The coaches can't change the physicality of their body and their, you know, physical makeup to change the fatigue that they're experiencing. So what is going to be interesting, I think, from us looking at Liverpool is how does Klopp and the coaches alter how we play in order to facilitate the changes due to the mental and physical fatigue, because we just can't play at the level, those players physically and mentally can't play at that level mm-hmm. at this stage, because they're going for a league and they're looking to get to the semifinals of the Europa League. Like mm-hmm. they just can't. So I'm wondering, and maybe this is a question, do you think Klopp can change, or the coaching, the coaches can change and not change how they played or the intensity, but altered enough? Or is that something that should be left alone because we haven't been training for that all year?
Yeah, I don't know enough about the physiology and the coaching dynamics of that. I mean, from a mental perspective, sometimes a little bit of a shift, just a little bit of a different look can spark something new. And so, you know, sometimes what can happen too is like with automaticity, there can be some staleness. Like things get so automatic that then you're used to not thinking about things. And so you're used to playing in a pretty automatic way. But then if people aren't exactly where you expect, like you were saying, like the automaticity doesn't work in the same way, but there's like a period of time where you're still kind of executing that program, I guess, if we're going to put it like that. You know, sometimes changing something like formation or changing something like role or changing something, I don't think you want to overhaul everything because certain parts have to still be automatic, but just can give you a fresh look at something, or force you to pay attention to the game in front of you instead of trying to play out the automatic game that exists in your head. And that can be beneficial. I don't know if now is a good time for that. I don't know how likely Klopp would be to do that. I don't know how likely Linders would be to do that. I think, you know, he's had more and more influence on the tactics too. Like, I don't know. And then you also have to ask the question of like, let's say we change some of those things. Do we have the personnel who are currently fit enough to do whatever we want? You know? And so like, if we're going to change something, does that really make sense? From a mental perspective, there could be some benefit to it. You lose a little bit of automaticity, but you gain a little bit of present moment focus. And like it kind of demands something new. And that maybe is a little bit of a challenge. It provides a little bit of a spark. You always run the risk of it going horribly wrong, but you know, maybe it goes right. And you know, that obviously would be nice.
Yeah. And I think from looking at the matches that we've had recently, it seems like the decision-making has been, for the most part, a lot of the time, what we'll say in inverted commas, the wrong decision. Whereas I suppose, let's go back to the height of our success. You know, it looked like every decision that was being made on the pitch, pretty much, especially with the attackers, they just knew what to do at the right time, and it just seemed to work out. Whereas now there seems to not be that same flow. So, you know, any of the front three will take a shot when the pass is on, or they'll make a pass when the shot is on, and it's just not working. But I do wonder about stripping things back at this stage to going, like you said before, what are you good at?
Yeah. Well, and that changes a little bit here.
Yeah.
And so there's two conversations I would be having right now. Because the first one is, it's three really bad results in a row. But here's the caveat, is like, we dominated United. You know, like, yeah, they scored a couple goals that were, you know, finishes that you wouldn't expect. And we gave up some chances, but we did enough to win that game, you know. And in another day where we take advantage of our chances, maybe don't make one silly mistake, it's not like we got played off the park. Atalanta, I didn't watch that game. Everything I've heard is that we're pretty terrible, but also an under pressure like that, the Monte Carlo simulation or whatever, the most likely result was 3-2. We still got beat. But that's not as bad. Like if we were going into this leg 3-2, I think we'd feel all right, actually, about our chances of coming away with it. Crystal Palace, again, could we have won that game? Absolutely. We had the chances to win that game. You know, did they have more chances than they finished? So it's important to be mindful of what are the margins here, right? And what's our process looking like? And is our process giving us a chance to win games? And the answer is still yes. Like our process has been giving us a chance to win games. And so that makes overhauling that process like a complicated thing. That's, it might add some freshness, it might add some life, but also like our process is giving us that chance. With this idea of, okay, so then what do? It's about like being mindful of like, what is your focal point and your strength? And so it's funny, I actually just had a conversation with someone about this yesterday. Sometimes where fatigue becomes a problem for people and then like their desire to want to play without it is that, you know, if their game hinges on a degree of physicality that requires them to be 100% sharp and fit, and they are not 100% sharp and fit, if they're pushing themselves to be 100% sharp and like 100%, like that, they're not going to get there. And so you have to be willing to adjust your process and focus on a different aspect of that process to get the most out of what you do have. And that can be a real challenge because it's just different. You know, you're used to being able to get to a certain spot at a certain time or make an extra run or create a couple more chances. And that's, you know, what's probably interesting about, we're still going down first. Like we're not, you know, we're in the past, we were able to figure that out because we had the energy to make the third, the fourth, the fifth chance and eventually put one away. Probably we don't have the energy to make 100 chances a game, 10 chances a game, you know, like we have the energy to make 4 or 5, like, which is still good, but we got to take advantage of that. Adjusting the focal point so that it highlights your strength. If you're not sharp enough to take advantage of the physicality you have, then your physicality isn't your strength and you shouldn't focus on that. You can't phone it in and walk around the whole game, but that's also not going to happen if you focus on something different. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the conversation, is like, what would it look like to pick a focal point that highlights something you do have right now? Maybe that means playing smart, using your brain. Maybe that means paying more attention to when can I make the hard run or the press that's going to make an impact rather than pressing constantly. Like, it's going to be a little bit of finagling to find that strength and focal point, because, you know, sometimes your normal thing is off the board if you're not feeling 100%.
And I think the challenge is when you're so deep into the season, there's so little room for that finagling. To figure it out, you know, that the pressure is on. So if we look at the criticism that's been labeled at, you know, almost every player that we over the last week and a half or so, like Curtis has been torn to shreds, Darwin has been torn to shreds, Lucho has been torn to shreds, Mo's been torn to shreds, Virgil's been torn to shreds, Canada's been torn to shreds, like pretty much everybody's been torn to shreds, without the understanding that if everyone is used to operating at 95 to 100% and you have a 1 to 5% drop from everybody in performance level on that first 11, for example, or even 80% of those people, that looks very different in your ability to execute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, we see it all the time. They get paid 250 grand a week. They should be able to, that's not even a conversation. That just means nothing. So if you're out there and that's an excuse that you're given, you know, just put it in the bin. It just, you might as well talk about the man on the moon. It just has no relevance at all. So if you're working with somebody who is trying to do all those things and you're giving them the practical things to do that they can, you're giving them the practical elements they can focus on in match, what are the things that you're also talking to them about outside of the sport?
Yeah. So like in terms of, and we were talking about this a little bit before we got going, but I, you know, if we're talking about like managing fatigue, and the closest thing I can give you to a playbook for it, or, you know, the first one is, you know, you're not typically, when you get into this point of the season, you're looking at physical and mental fatigue, but you're also probably starting to look at something that looks a little bit like burnout. You know, there's a lot of overlap in those two things. And so balance becomes really important, and like balance between your life outside of the sport and your life in the sport. And so when someone is at a late stage in the season, dealing with fatigue, dealing with injuries, like I'm often asking them about their life away from sport and just like what's going on there. And, you know, if they're, you know, able to have some time to engage with other things, to talk to the people in their life who don't care about the sport they're playing at all, or to engage with a hobby where, you know, it has nothing to do with sport, or maybe to not watch extra games, or maybe just get away from it a little bit, like give your brain that break and give your brain that space. There's some people who like, they won't want that and they want to be engaged constantly. That's fine if that's their preference. But it is an important time to at least assess, do I need some extra space from it? And what would that look like for me? And what are some things that are not football related things that I can do to recharge, or that I can do to just be a person? And that can go a long way just in terms of like improving a little bit of freshness. You got to get through the rest of the season one way or another. So it's, you know, having that balance matters. Another thing is about being mindful of how you assess the fatigue. And so one of the things that often happens with athletes is like, if their legs aren't feeling good or they're physically not feeling at their best, they can get a little worried about like, oh God, what does this mean for the game? What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? Everyone else is going to be fully fresh. Like, I got to get rid of this. And that's actually, you know, that kind of request to what's the thing I can do to not feel fatigued at all? The heart of that question is, in order for me to impact the game, or in order for me to be at my best, I need to feel at my best. And I think usually the change in frame that I make with people there, you know, especially in ice hockey, like what I say is, you're not any more fatigued than anyone else right now. Like, remember, you're not going on the ice with a bunch of people who are 100%, and you're the only one who's gone through the season, right? If you're doing a 3-3 kind of thing, you know, on that third game, typically you're playing the same team you've been playing the whole time, or, you know, they're coming off a 3-3-2, or at the very least they played a couple games. So it's, your fatigue level is not, it's a battle of two groups of fatigued people. And so managing that fatigue is part of the challenge, and who can manage that fatigue better is part of the challenge. That reframes that a little bit, where they're not as worried about their own fatigue level, or they don't perceive that as a weakness. And it kind of is like, oh, well, maybe I can push through that better than them. It almost becomes a little bit of a challenge. It's a little different here because we've just, you know, I forget, who are we playing this weekend?
Fulham.
Fulham. So they're obviously not playing a midweek game at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you might be a little worried, like, hey, they've had one game a week for a little bit now. We've been playing a lot more than them. Like, there is, it's going to be harder to make that argument of like our fatigue level is the same as their fatigue level, but they're at the end of a long season too. And like that little bit of a reminder, at the very least, giving that athlete an idea that like your goal is to get the best out of what you have, not to find something you don't have. And if you spend the whole game trying to find a level of energy you don't have, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Like, it's okay to be fatigued. It's okay. You just have to find a way to impact the game. And that's what the focal point becomes about, is finding a way to impact the game that acknowledges the reality of where you are. And that's the other place where people drive themselves nuts, is you feel like you're supposed to be able to push through it and ignore it and, you know, I don't know, be at your best anyway. And it's like, that's being honest with yourself and saying like, yeah, this doesn't feel good. I think sometimes people worry that that's going to overtake them. Like, if they acknowledge their fatigue, or they acknowledge it's been a long season, then that's going to ruin everything. But it's not. Like, you're there whether you acknowledge it or not. What it gives you a chance to do is be honest with yourself and, you know, recognize that. And it's voices and volume knobs. You know, we've got a bunch of different things that are going to pop up in our head at different times. And it's not about one of those wins and one of those loses. They're all at different volumes at different times. And so that fatigued voice is going to be telling you, hey, this hurts. We should stop. We should slow down. We should whatever. Like, this is too much, or I don't want to be doing this. Or, you know, maybe trying like, oh, it's not as, nothing's working. Like, I'm not going to be as good as I want. Right. Those are all voices that have their own volume knobs, and being able to hear those, recognize them, turn them down, and also say no. Like, okay, yes, I'm tired, but also, you know, what I, here's how I'm going to impact the game, and here's what I'm paying attention to right now. So those, some combination of those things would be usually how I work with someone who's battling a lot of fatigue.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
That's a really good insight into ways that we can manage stress and burnout, potential burnout, or move in that direction. Because while we're talking about footballers, this happens on a human level. And I've two examples of it today outside of the sports arena. One, literally before we came on, I was working with a client who works for a huge multinational who are struggling at the moment. And he was talking about being on a meeting with his boss's boss, and he was really kind of, the guy was just pointing his finger and going, "You guys, you can, I don't know if you can do this," and da, 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 all this kind of shit and whatever. And my client kind of stepped away, and we've been working together for a while, so he's quite level in how he processes things. And he kind of went, "Okay, this is how he was speaking kind of wasn't very supportive and conducive." So he dropped the guy a message and went, "Look, I'm here, I'm working, and how this was delivered wasn't necessarily what was needed for me and the team." And then he said he went off and went out and got himself a cup of coffee, and he picked up loads of different colours for a painting he wanted to do. So he was able to separate and get that balance in his life of, well, I'm just going to go focus on something that actually is positive right now and creative. And so off he went, got his colours ready for his painting that he's going to do this weekend and the whole lot. And his boss's boss came back and said, "Oh, look, I'm really sorry, you're right. I was going to actually reach out to you and say, I'm sorry, because I'm just under so much pressure." And what my client could have done was taken that as, he's telling me I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't. And if we can get that reframe, but he was able to do that himself and shift into something different to focus, like you're saying, getting that balance of being just a human being, that helped to keep him grounded. And look what came from it. An acknowledgement that actually, yeah, I'm feeling the pressure. And the second thing was, I was listening to a podcast with a very successful writer who was saying that he had writer's block for like 4 months. And he said he found himself one day just lying on the kitchen floor in tears. And, you know, he's like, his wife walked in and said, "What are you doing on the floor?" And he was like, I'm just going to have to give up writing. I can't cope. And she went, "Get up off the fucking floor and go and buy some milk." And he said, literally, that was the switch where he went, "She's right. This is not important. I've got a family. I've got a wife. I'm lying on the fucking kitchen floor. I got to get up." He said the words flowed, absolutely flowed. But he needed that person to give him the metaphorical slap and go, "No, we're not suggesting that everyone deserves a slap here and again and again." But yeah, it is about getting somebody into the present, because if we're stuck in our heads worrying about the future, we can't execute as effectively in the here and now. And mm-hmm. when it comes to playing in a high level sport, you have to be able to execute in the here and now. But if you're worried about, oh my God, we're not going to win. Oh my God, we're not going to score. And we've gone 1-0 down. Oh my God. You're not able to tap into that automaticity that you need and focus on what's needed in the here and now. And it's so powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's it's a great example. And like the reality is in the here and now you're tired.
Yeah.
And like, ignoring that doesn't do you any good, but having that be your sole focus of attention doesn't do you any good either. Absolutely. And so there's a middle ground there of being able to acknowledge of what I have now, here's how I'm going to get the best of it. And I think this is one of those kinds of weeks of the season that happened. And I think, I've watched this happen with City. I've watched this happen with different teams. Obviously, City usually ends up winning something over the past handful of years, but it happened to us and Arsenal, right? It's 1 week, everything's on. And then 3 weeks later, nothing's on. And it comes crashing down all at once. And the reality is right now, like the league is not gone. And like we're not executing at our best, but the margins are narrow. And we're closer than I think the results from the past few times have gone. And so being able to manage that disappointment too also becomes very relevant here. Because you have the disappointment, you have the fatigue, and the way those two things can go together is you can start to get that narrative of like, all right, well, here's where the wheels are falling off. Right. Or the wheels already fell off and now we're just scraping. It's like that might not be actually that true. You know, and being able to recognize there's a couple players who are going to be really fatigued right now, but not everyone is going to be totally fatigued. Like you have McAllister and Endo who have definitely played more than they should have. Hmm. Right. And then there was an argument for Kelleher, that his load is much higher than it's ever been and just, you know, he hasn't developed the ability from a physical standpoint or like on under pressure. Simon talked about a concentration standpoint, like to really be able to play that many games yet. There's also players who Trent, Ali, Jota, who are going to click into gear a little bit because they haven't played in a while. So they're going to shake off some rust. There's some other players who are coming back from injury who are still shaking off some rust. Like there's going to be, it's not everyone in the team who is fighting against a massive level of fatigue. McAllister needs a break. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't play today.
Yeah.
Like if we need find a way to win, by all means, find a way to win 4-0 and continue the Europa League, but like find a way to do it without McAllister. But like clearly there's a couple players who they just can't play. But yeah, like I think it's important to remember the margins are narrow. So get the fuck off the floor, Liverpool.
And go to the shop and buy some milk.
Go finish your chances. That's a tough thing to do when you're tired. You know, and that's one of the things that with cognitive fatigue or just rustiness, like, you know, Jones doesn't have rhythm yet and maybe isn't always the best finisher anyway. It's like it's a couple of those big chances that just didn't go our way. And, you know, it's just how it goes sometimes. It's so important to not panic about that.
Mm. And Jones, like in particular, has always been a rhythm player. He always takes 3, 4, 5 games to get into that rhythm for us to see the quality that he has. It's just the way he's been. So expecting him to hit the ground running or the other side is expecting him to be kept out of the team till he gets the rhythm is totally counterintuitive. So although it might look like crazy for Klopp to keep putting him back in the team, he needs to be in the team to get to that rhythm. So that's really, really important. And I think if I was working with the team or working with Klopp or whatever, I would absolutely be saying, let's lean into the fact that we are creating chances, the fact that we have done this all season. If this week happened back in November, we would not be saying we are out of the league. We are done. That's it. We just wouldn't. So if we look at it and go, we just can, we absolutely will click back into gear. And we have these players coming back in who are not fatigued. And yes, they might need a bit of time to get back into some sort of rhythm, but that doesn't mean it's not an and or an or. You know, there can be flexibility and flow that maybe Jota comes in and scores four goals tonight. Maybe he scores two at the weekend and all of a sudden Nunes scores two at the weekend. Like, it doesn't mean that there's going to be one or the other thing happening. They're so high quality and elite that they still have tons of ability to overcome mm-hmm. the challenges that are in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be on a very similar page, and I kind of think that's where Klopp will be. You know, he's been around the game for so long and been through so many ups and downs that, you know, he's been through so many ups and downs that now he's at a point where, like, not a lot phases him. His ability to be positive and to say, hey, here's the parts that are going well. Obviously, he's noted, like, the couple of things, like the Atalanta game not being very good. Like, he's taken notes of the part that haven't been good. But he's also going to pay attention to the positives that are there. Finishing chances and poise. Those are things that are hard when you're fatigued, but also things that you can give a little bit of mental energy to and, like, prompt yourself to give a little bit of mental energy to. And, you know, like, that's... If I was working with one of the players right now who was like, hey, I'm missing all these chances left and right, you know, probably what I would encourage them to do is just take the whole week of practice and the, like, leading up to the games and just, like, really, you know, pick one element of your shooting process that you really want to pay attention to, right? Whether that's how you're striking the ball, whether that's looking up and actually seeing the space in the net, whether that's, you know, whatever it is, just getting to the spaces and then calming yourself down. And just really focus on that one part of it. Focus on it in practice. Take reps where that's literally you're just practicing. Maybe don't even take the shot. Just practice getting the ball and looking up. And getting the ball and looking up. And, like, you know, I don't know the technique for soccer or, like, how you're supposed to be finishing. Finishing is never something I've, in any sport I've ever played, had any sort of talent for. So, like, I can't give any insight into that really. But, like, in with the hockey players I work with, often it's a matter of going from fast to slow in the right moments and being able to take the extra time. And often, like, it's, you see people who rush their shot when, you know, they're struggling a little bit or haven't scored in a while. And it's like the excitement kind of gets to them. And, usually what I'll say then sometimes is, like, practice failing on the other side of the line. Rather than going too quickly, go too slow. Like, make sure there's three times next practice where you go to shoot and someone takes the ball from you because you take too long, just to see how much time you have. Because if no one's taking the ball from you, then you have more time. And so that kind of gives them a chance too, just to, like, so obviously not what they want from themselves in the game. I'm not going to say, okay, next time in a game, go do that. But, like, do it a couple times in practice. What you're going to notice is you sort of have more time to wait. And then that, like, kind of prompts, like, oh, I have a little bit more time here. It's what you're looking for. Intentionally sustained concentration is incredibly difficult. And so as a reference point for this, anyone who has the experience of paying attention to something that they're not interested in or don't want to pay attention to, or when they're, like, kind of distracted, will know how hard it is to stay dialed in. Maybe at the end of a work week or at the end of a work day when there's something you need to do, but you'd much rather be doing something else. Or, you know, there's a conversation where the person who's talking to you is saying something boring, or you're listening to a lecture, or you're listening, like, I don't know, like, there's a book on tape where whatever, like, paying attention to something that is not engaging requires a lot of effort. It's possible, but it requires a lot of mental effort. That is not the kind of attention that soccer players should be expecting, or most athletes should be expecting from themselves during their sport. The kind of attention that most athletes are experiencing during sporting situations is an effortless form of attention, where the act of being engaged does not take additional effort. It's connected to that flow state. It's connected to automaticity. But a lot of us can have this experience of that too, whether or not it's flow. You know, maybe it's you're watching a TV show you're super excited about, and all of a sudden you've watched two episodes or three episodes or four episodes, and you're like, oh my God, where'd the time go? Or maybe you are listening to a podcast or a book. Maybe you listen to our podcast and it's very interesting, or a book on tape is very interesting, or whatever. And people are super engaged. Don't laugh. I bet there's someone who's got effortless attention right now. And it's just like, oh, where did the time go? Right? Like, it doesn't, you're not expending any effort paying attention at all. Video games are often like this. They can be very engaging. They're designed to be very engaging, so they eat up your time. There's not energy that goes into that sustained attention. You might finish afterwards and realize that overall the task required a lot of you. But as you're going through the task, it's not like that difficult task where you're like, oh, shoot, what was that person saying? I got to reengage. Oh, shoot, what was that person saying? I got to reengage, right? That's not typically what's happening to athletes during sport, because sport tends to be engaging enough that it draws your attention in that effortless way. So when you hit these levels of fatigue or things get disrupted, then it can be a little harder for things to feel that effortless, or for the attention to be that effortless. And that's part of what, like when I'm helping someone look for a focal point, it's not just about focusing on their strengths, or it's not just about, you know, being able to find certain moments. It's not just what you're paying attention to. You're also looking for the thing that makes the rest of everything effortless. You're looking for the challenge that's engaging. And so if you're setting a focal point for yourself that's outside of your reach, and this is consistent with the flow research. And so it's like with flow, you've got when challenge is too high and skill is too low, you're going to be in that zone of anxiety. When challenge is too low and perceived skill is too high, you're going to be in this sort of bored zone. Typically, we're not worried about a lot of athletes getting bored, although it certainly can happen. I've worked with athletes where that becomes a little bit of a problem. Like if they get ahead, the game gets a little boring. Being mindful of what's the challenge you're setting for yourself. So if you're used to being like a physical monster, and the challenge you're setting for yourself is to be that physical monster, but you're too tired to be that physical monster, you're going to be bumping into that all game because you're pushing yourself to do something you can't do. That's going to disrupt the effortlessness of the attention. You're going to get loops of frustration, loops of what am I doing, loops of, and you're going to have to re-engage after that. If you can set the right focal point, what you'll notice is that the rest of the game becomes automatic too, because you're focused on the right part of that challenge. And so, you know, for the person who I worked with yesterday, the cues we came up with for this upcoming weekend is in control everywhere. And the piece with that is, like, you know, typically in a less fatigued state, he could play a different game and probably would want to play a different game. But being in control still highlights his strength. But it doesn't focus so much on his power and physicality. It focuses more on the mental parts of his game, of being poised, of being able to be smart, which are also strengths of his, but mostly that felt exciting to him. And shift by shift, he could focus on being in control everywhere. And what's going to happen is he's going to have some of those physical moments. He's going to have moments where the puck comes to him and he can be poised. If that challenge is right, you're focusing on one thing, but the rest of the stuff clicks. And so that is part of how things go here, is like you can still get in a flow state when you're tired. Like, it's not like, hey, your mental energy is low and you need to have sustained concentration where you're actively forcing yourself to pay attention through this whole game. If you find the right focal point, the attention can become effortless again. Now, you might still have moments where, like, you know, voices and volume knobs, your body comes out and says, hey, I'm really tired, right? Or this is going wrong. Or you're going to have a moment where you make a mistake or misplace a pass. And that's part of it. And so you might have to reset in those moments to the correct focal point or to whatever that challenge is you set for yourself. But there's still ways to find whether or not it's a full automaticity. It is at least an effortless version of an attention that comes with a challenge that is appropriately engaging and challenging. And that's part of what we're looking for. And finishing becomes easier there. Passing becomes easier there. Like some of the normal things become easier, but it's, you can't pay attention to all of them and fix them because that's going to require that kind of effortful attention. Oh, I've got to pay attention to this. I've got to pay attention to this now. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this. That's too much.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that makes everything easy? That's the question.
That is the question, Andrew. I love listening to your insights. You know, the way you explain it makes it so so engaging, and I have no doubt the listeners feel the exact same. That's it for today, folks. I want to say thanks very much, Andrew, for that amazing insight. And to you, the listener, thanks so much for joining us week in, week out. And we really appreciate your ears. Andrew, any final words before we close off today?
Let's hope that we're all less disappointed when we're listening to this as compared to when we're... I'm less disappointed now after talking about it.
Well, that's good.
Like, there's more here. There's more here for us. And yesterday I got to watch Arsenal and City go in the Champions League, and seeing Bernardo Silva sad makes me happy. So
he is the epitome of the crying face. So it was pleasant. It was absolutely pleasant. Listeners, thank you so much. We will be back very soon on Anfield Index Pro. If you're not a subscriber, please do sign up. And yeah, we'll chat to you very soon. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.